come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And we're glad to have you. This is the Christmas season, holiday season. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. All that that entails as we get ready for the new year. 2016. And speaking of 2016, that is a presidential year, an election year. We'll be finding a new president for the United States of America. The last debates, Republican and Democrat, were held. We're going to talk some about that, play some highlights, and then on the second half of the show, I'll have what I'm calling a Christmas like no other. I'm going to tell you a story about a Christmas like no other because I've never seen it like this. And I'm going to explain that to you. And I look forward to sharing a Christmas story with you. So get ready for this week's Rock Splitting Politics. We're going to start right here with a little Christmas music and get into what Donald Trump had to say at the last Republican debate.
Maybe 42 by his count. Jeb Bush, who was supposed to be number one, is at three. What happened?
I don't know. He's a nice man. I mean, I've gotten to like him a lot, although he's a little aggressive tonight. He tried to, you know, I think I'd be probably doing the same thing if I were him. But you know what? He's a good man, and I understand what he's
You're
doing.
Acting like a winner right now. You said tonight that you will run as a Republican, no third-party option. What
That's
changed
correct.
Your mind? What? Because you have talked about that. You've said if they don't treat you fairly in the Republican Party, you were going to bolt.
I mean, basically, Chris, if you look at what's happened, I'm number one by a lot, I think by 27 points. And what am I going to do, leave and say I'm going to run as an independent? You know, it doesn't. And over the last 4 or 5 months, I've gotten to know a lot of great Republicans. And I think they're all going to come together. They're going to coalesce. And we're going to do very well. I've had some terrific polls against Hillary. You know, Fox came out last week where we beat her by 5 points. And I think we're going to do very well.
Those polls are crazy. One of the polls shows Carson beating her. You believe that?
Well, you never know. I mean, you never know. He's a quality guy. I mean, we were talking to him before. He's a very high quality
guy. Let me
try
the reciprocal question. As a good Republican now, would you endorse and support whoever wins on your party side?
Yeah, I would.
You would with enthusiasm?
Yeah, I would do that with enthusiasm. I mean, I've gotten to know most of them pretty well. I like a lot of them. I can't say I love everybody, but I like a lot of them. And I respect quite a few of them.
Let's talk.
Now, that was Donald Trump talking to Chris Matthews in an interview right exactly after the Republican debate, the last one of 2016. And you can hear Donald Trump talking as a winner, not knocking Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush did all he could to take on Donald Trump. And actually, Bush looked like he's out of his league. And Trump, you could see he could have returned fire, but he's already discounted Jeb Bush as being anything that's dangerous to him. And it's sort of it's unusual to see Donald Trump now taking an approach that he's in charge of this nomination process. And you can see that in this interview exactly after the debate. And what else did he say? He said Donald Trump, to me, one of the most important things of the entire debate that helped I believe the outlook of Hillary Clinton being beat in November of 2016 It helps because he said he would not run a third party and he would support the Republican nominee enthusiastically. So those, to me, that was one of the biggest things that came out of the debate, because still there's an underlying feeling that, I mean, amongst a lot of people in the Republican Party, and including, I've mentioned some on this show, where people think, well, he's still in. He's working for Hillary, trying to mess up the Republicans, then runs a third party, and that would guarantee Hillary Clinton, almost guaranteed that she'd be her next president. And I have to say, I still had, even though he'd made statements and pledges, I still had my doubts that he might not jump in and to help Hillary Clinton win. So that was a strong statement, saying no, he would not run third party, and no, he would, you know, if he didn't get the nominee, he would. He said he would support enthusiastically the Republican nominee. So those were encouraging words to Republicans and conservatives across the country who are very upset to think what, after 8 years of Obama, what 4 years of Hillary Clinton could do to this country. It's just, it's unbearable to think of the danger that this nation is walking in. There was a lot in that debate. And we're going to talk about Frank Luntz, the Republican pollster. He'll come in. We're going to play some of what he said in just a little bit. But I wanted to share that interview with Chris Matthews because it highlighted these things, that Trump is feeling confident, and it's also highlighting the fact that some people around the country, Republican, Democrat, and independents, are starting to think, what would a Republican nominee named Donald Trump look like, and how would the campaign play out? A lot of things to look at, and one of the things that you're hearing right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics is the fact that, well, I'm going to tell you how the nomination is going, but I'm going to let you hear one more Christmas tune to get you tuned into the season. And I got something very special that I talked about last week on Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics, but I'm going to cement it into your mind frame of how this process to pick the Republican nominee has come down to a three-person race, and I'm going to tell you the dynamics of that right after this. Hey, how about a little jingle bells there? That's to get us in the festive mood and this season to be jolly. And not just, are the Republicans jolly? Are they getting scared? I know the Democrats, for the most part, are jollyful. Jolly full, I guess that's the term that we ought to use. But St. Nicholas, will he put coals in the stockings of the Democrats? I don't know. But I do know this, that Hillary Clinton is the inevitable nominee. That's Bernie Sanders. He's not really wanting to be the nominee. If he was, Hillary Clinton has plenty of weak spots, that the Achilles heel that he could hit her on if he really wanted to be the next Democratic nominee for president of the United States. But Bernie Sanders is not doing that. And we heard the last Democratic debate on really the Saturday night before Christmas, when everybody be out shopping. They didn't want a big audience. That's powerful when you realize the Democrats don't want an audience. On a Saturday night, the Saturday before Christmas, they pick a time for a Democratic debate. You know, they want Hillary, they want Bernie just to put up a little opposition. And oh yeah, O'Malley, what's he even still doing in it? He's still at 2 or 3%. That's understandable on the Republican side when there's 15 people running, but when there's 3 people running, you got 2 or 3%, you know, hang it up, bud. But I will say this, Bernie Sanders, if he had the desire, if he had the fire to be president of the United States, to run for it, he would be hitting Hillary with everything he had. He's not hitting her. He's just brushing around the edges. So he doesn't even want to be president. That's my take on it. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics says Bernie doesn't have the fire, or he'd go after Hillary where she is weak. He's not doing it. Now, I told you I was going to tell you about the shakedown in Republican nomination. If you've been listening to the show, I've been leading you in this direction, but it boils down to this. And I talked about it some at the end of last week's show. But it's a three-person race, three-man race, actually, because it's between Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio. Now, Trump has got the clear lead, and he can win this thing. This is what it's up to right now. Marco Rubio, he is sharp. He's young. He's smart. And he looks like he's got that Kennedy look that he could be president. But this is Rubio's problem. With the amount of support that Donald Trump has and the distaste for the establishment Republicans, he's seen as the establishment. Now, he could get maybe 40%. He can't ever get enough over that 50% line. Because Trump had commands so many, and Ted Cruz commands so many of the voters. As more and more candidates start dropping out, yes, Rubio will increase, Ted Cruz will increase, Trump probably won't increase a lot. But this is what it boils down to. If the establishment decides we don't want Donald Trump, they cannot outspend him, they cannot pour money into the other Rubio's race to get enough votes to beat Trump. It'll take a one-on-one scenario. And if Donald Trump continues to hold 40%, there's no way Marco Rubio can make it. But there is a way to beat Trump, and it's this way. Ted Cruz, disliked by the Senate, the House, and establishment Republicans, they can't stand Ted Cruz. But if they don't want Donald Trump to be the nominee, they will have to get behind Ted Cruz. This is the reason why. Ted Cruz's support, if they see it becoming a two-person race between Trump and Rubio, some, maybe not half, I don't know, but a lot of Ted Cruz's support, they don't like Washington. They will go with Donald Trump. And there's no way Marco Rubio can overcome that. Now, the opposite is true also. If the establishment will get behind Ted Cruz and then back away from Marco Rubio, Rubio's support flowing into Cruz's support would give him enough to shoot past Donald Trump. The only way you can trump Trump is with Cruz. You cannot trump Trump with Rubio. That's the bottom line right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You heard it right here. And because of that, I'm going to play a little tune from Ted Cruz and his team's new Christmas season ad. Take a listen to this.
Imagine the greatest Christmas stories told by the senator who once read Green Eggs and Ham from the Senate floor.
'Twas the night before the shutdown, and all through the House, not a bill was stirring, not even to fund a mouse.
A proven record presents a collection of timeless Christmas classics, read by the trusted conservative leader, Ted Cruz. Favorites such as How Obamacare Stole Christmas and Rudolph the Underemployed Reindeer.
All of the other reindeer couldn't afford to hire Rudolph.
Act now and you'll get a leader who does exactly what he says he's going to do. In this case, read festive stories like Frosty, the Speaker of the House.
Look, the Speaker is melting before Congress.
And the Lois Lerner masterpiece, Auditing Saint Nick.
I will audit him here or there. I will audit him anywhere.
The whole family will enjoy reading stories like The Grinch, Who Lost Her Emails.
I know just what I'll do, she said with a snicker. I'll use my own server, and no one will be the wiser.
And if you act now, we'll throw in the inspiring new Christmas story soon to be an instant classic.
Please read this one, Daddy.
Okay.
The Senator Who Saved Christmas.
This is a good one.
If you are not completely satisfied with this collection of Cruz Christmas classics, you probably hate Christmas and America.
I'm Ted Cruz, and I approve this message.
Well, how about that for our Christmas show? A Christmas ad from Ted Cruz for president. You're seeing how this is lining up. The excitement part is the Iowa caucuses are getting closer and closer. We're just a few weeks away. I mean, it's days away, actually, when you start looking at it in time of where the jockeying for position begins intensely. And we'll have to see candidates starting to fall out, especially after Iowa and New Hampshire. And New Hampshire is just right on the heels of Iowa. And in South Carolina, it's about to begin. All these last two or three years, jockeying for position. And where is your candidate positioned? Where are they? Well, I've told you, I really think it's down to these three. We're going to see, unless there's some kind of Christmas miracle for one of the others, I think they might as well hang it up, and it would be good to go ahead and get out and to see how these final three, we'll see who the weight of the establishment gets thrown behind. Will Karl Rove get behind Ted Cruz after all the bruising that they've done to Ted Cruz? Will they say, we love you, brother, and glad we made you stronger? Or will they say, we're going to push Rubio through no matter what, even if it takes a brokered convention? Now, that would not be a strong Republican nominee coming out to whoever it would be to take on Hillary Clinton. So a lot to think about, a lot to talk about when it comes to presidential politics. And this is what we've done here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, try to give you angles and show you things that've led us down to this, where we're saying it's down between these last three. Now, I want you to understand, as we get ready for the second half of the show, I'm going to talk about a Christmas like any other. I've never had a Christmas like this one, and I'm going to tell you the story of that, and I hope you'll enjoy that. And there's the thing about it that before we get there, I want to remind you, you're listening to us right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics show, and we're on webtalkradio.net, and I told you not just two or three weeks ago, the founder of Web Talk Radio passed away, Brad Saul. And again, we're keeping his family in our thoughts and prayers in this holiday season. And I also want to tell you that some of you have been getting a book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics has put together a new book called, and along with Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland, Dr. Ed Holliday, that it's not a paradox, I guess it's three docs, but we put together a book called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. And those are things that we think that this country needs to stand strong on to make us stronger, wiser, and healthier as a nation, to get freedom back in charge, to let liberty ring across the land. So get the book, Bedrock Truths. And if you got an Amazon gift card for Christmas, use it. Go to Doc Holliday, Bedrock Truths. Just type that into Amazon. Dr. Ed Holliday, Bedrock Truths, or Dr. Alveda King, Bedrock Truths. You can find the book right there on Amazon. You can find it on our website. You can click on the front page of this show, and it'll take you to my website, or you can go right there directly. It's just docholliday.org, and you can order the book. Got other books there you can order. And that is one thing I want to tell you about Christmas. It's not all about giving and sharing gifts. Part of it is just knowing what Christmas is meant to America in the Christmas season. And it is a celebration of the birth of Jesus, and we know that not everyone in America is Christian. In fact, there's a large percentage of population, probably more than ever, there are agnostics or don't believe in any supreme being, and there's other religions in America. Now we know the Muslims, we got 4 or 5 million here, and we've always had several million Jewish citizens, and that's during the season of Hanukkah, and we just want to say thank you for everyone celebrating America. When I say Merry Christmas, I do it in a way, it's a spirit of just like Scrooge in Dickens, Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol, when he realized he could live every day to its fullest, and he'd been stingy and greedy, and he just threw that away and knew that every day was a gift. And that's what makes me excited to tell you on the second half of the show, a Christmas unlike any other. Take a listen to a little music, and then I'll tell you a story you've never heard before. Everlasting light. I never quite thought about that. The everlasting light. It's from the dark streets in Bethlehem. Tonight, Jesus was born. And this is a story, a Christmas story, unlike any story I've ever heard or ever known, because it involves my dad. Back in the spring, if you remember, my listeners of a long time on this show, I ran for Congress, and it was a special election, and it ended up on May 12th. What I didn't know the last week of that election was my dad had gone to see the doctor, and after the election, he let me know, other family members let me know, that my dad had a severe liver cancer. In fact, it was involved 100% of his liver. The doctor told us that my dad, who's 88 years old, and he worked harder than anybody else in my run for Congress, and I'm happy that I got to see him, and he was tickled and happy and worked hard and is proud that I was running for Congress. And, you know, we didn't make it, didn't get the votes we needed, but we worked hard, and my dad worked harder than anyone, and he got the diagnosis, and the doctor pretty much told us probably it'd be tough for him to live through the end of the summer. You know, we just need to be ready. And he did take some light chemotherapy that they offered. And my dad really stayed healthy through the summer and was able to get around. And we got to say a good long goodbye. My dad passed away December 15th. It was on a Tuesday. And we were glad that he got almost to Christmas, and it helped me see Christmas in a whole different way. And my dad stayed strong, and it wasn't up even a month ago. He's still on several boards, and at 88 years old, we'd ask him, don't you think you ought to resign some of these boards? He's on the Soil Conservation Board. He's on the Northeast Mississippi Community College Board of Trustees. He'd been on that for over 50 years. He loved seeing organizations work and work hard. And he also was on the board for the Region 4 Mental Health. He's on the Mississippi Humanities Council now. I think he's off that board now, but on so many of these things. He was on the Head Start board, and he loved people. He loved education. He was an educator. He's a coach, a principal during his life here on earth, and a teacher. And he loved students. He loved seeing people challenged to do their best to learn and put in systems and organizations, and that's why he stayed on the boards, to see them serve people. Now, what this Christmas story really entails is the love that my dad showed, because he loved to tell the Christmas story. When we were all small children, one of our fondest memories, and a pastor who did my father's funeral, he said, are there any scriptures that your father loved? We told him that every Christmas we would turn out the lights and light candles. My father would read us the Christmas story by candlelight. And we've heard the story before. So many of you have heard it. But to hear my dad's voice read the Christmas story and the lights off and the candles, it just burned into our memory, something that we still have. Even though he's gone from the face of the earth, we know that, like the everlasting star that you heard sung about in the old little town of Bethlehem before I started this story, an everlasting star, the everlasting life of John 3:16. We know my Father is where his Savior prepared a room for him, and we will see him again. My family, we know beyond a shadow of doubt we're going to see him again. And that's why they're, even though there's sorrow in saying goodbye, there's a joy. And I've never seen death in such a beautiful way as my dad passed away around Christmas. The songs, the Christmas songs, even like Away in a Manger, when it says, take me home, take us home to be heaven, to live with you there. That all of a sudden, it has a whole new meaning. There's times where, hark the herald angels sing. It says there's healing in the wings. And if you don't know what that means, it's not like angels' wings. It's talking about the wings of Jesus, because back in his day, when they made cloth, they couldn't make the rounded shoulders like we do now. And a lot of the cloth would have, be like squares. And that's what it looked like, wings. And rabbis would wear tassels on the wings. And you remember there's a story in the Bible about someone reaching out to the rabbi's wing. And there's a lady that had a bleeding disorder. And as she touched Jesus' garment, she was healed. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? In the middle of a crowd, and everybody thought, the disciples thought, hey, you're crazy. I mean, there's people all over touching you. But he knew that somebody had the faith. And this lady touched him, and she was healed by the healing in his wings. And those, just hearing those stories, and now I know my father, even though he was eaten up of cancer, and he never suffered much pain at the end, he had a little pain medication. But it's been wonderful to see him be able to stay healthy as he could and not hurt in a bad way, even up to the end. And that's been a blessing that I know not everyone gets to have. But he's healed now, healed in a new body, in a new place. And I have no doubt of that. And I'm happy in that aspect. But one of the things that I really love about Christmas, my dad told me a story, and it shows you the power of what a person's life is shaped by. I'm going to tell you this story as I end up, because I think it's powerful. My dad, we love politics. Hey, Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. My dad was a Democrat, and now he would vote for Republicans too. He really looked at the person. And I have to tell you that my dad has shaped my thinking on a lot of things, but especially when it comes to war. And it's so easy. We've seen these presidential debates. People are going to carpet bomb. We're going to send in troops here and here and send troops. But my dad told me this story. That's what I'm ending with, because I think it's particularly important for Christmas, because there's a lot of soldiers across the world protecting America. I got a nephew, got others who are involved, and I know that I love and cherish. I know their families do. But they're on the front lines now so that we can have peace at home. And we need to always thank our veterans and those who are in the military now for their service. And I do that now. I do that by telling a story. Back in World War II, my dad is one of 14. And during World War II, my dad is one of the youngest in the family. And he had 7 brothers who were fighting in World War II. Not one, not two, not 3, not 4, not 5, not even 6, but 7. 7 brothers who were fighting in the war, some over in the European theater, some in the Pacific theater. And he would tell me how his mother would pace the floors at night. She would pace them back and forth at night. These were the boys, the sons that she had birthed at home, that she had weaned, that she had raised, that she had cared for, and now they were in harm's way, and she paced the floors, praying for them, hurting for them, wondering what they were into, what conditions they were. And as the war stretched on, and the casualties started coming in, and neighbors were losing their sons, neighbors were having their sons crippled and war injuries. And as she heard these things, she paced the floors. So my dad said she couldn't even sleep at night. And it was weighing on her, weighing heavy on her. And I know my one of my cousins told me that one time one lady said to my mother, my grandmother Holiday, and said, "You know, you got seven sons. I only have one son over there. But if he's gone, it's all I have. And so it should be easier on you." And it burned my grandmother up because she said, "As much as you love that one son, I have seven out there, and I love them all." And she did. But my dad said one time my grandmother went to the Tippah County Hospital, a little country county hospital, not very big, didn't have much back in World War II as a hospital there. And my dad went up to my grandfather and said, "Papa, what's wrong with Mama? Papa, what's wrong with Mama?" My dad never got an answer. And what happened in the war, all seven of his brothers came home alive and well physically. They all came back with different problems of war. But, and I was glad during the funeral service, I mentioned that in a eulogy. And my uncle is 90 years old. He's the last surviving child of those 14 children. He's 90 years old, but he was one of the veterans that fought in World War II. And I was glad during the military service when they, part of the service, they asked the veterans to stand as they played taps. I mean, my 90-year-old Uncle JL standing up was exciting to me. And I'm glad he was there to stand up. My dad did serve in the military, not during World War II. But he's a veteran, and we had military honors for him at the funeral. But I was telling you, he, as my grandmother was in the hospital, she got out. Like I said, all seven sons survived, and a lot of prayers, maybe those prayers pacing up and down. But my dad said that he never knew what she had until a few years later he figured it out, and there wasn't even a term for it during World War II, but she had a complete nervous breakdown. And that's why my dad said that after World War II, she never was herself again, and she died till about 1964. But that story helped shape my dad's life, I believe. He always cared about the vulnerable. He helped found the first school for children with special needs in the 1960s in our area. He also worked for those with mental disabilities, and he worked for mental illness crisis centers to be in our area. And so much he's done over his lifetime to be a part of seeing people have a place to go who are in need of help, where before there was nothing. So that helped shape my father's life. And as Christmas season and is this week, then I think of my dad at Christmas as he has passed on from here on earth. And it's a joy, just like joy to the world. It's a joy to me to know that I'll see him again one day. It's also a joy in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of seeing my mother cry and weep with pain of knowing she was separated here on earth from my dad. But I just had the calm assurance of like that star in Bethlehem, away in a manger, the coming of the wise men to present in gifts. All these things. And it says in the Bible, when the shepherds came and told Mary what had happened, how they had seen angels and told the angels had said, "There's a newborn king. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes." And it said, Mary cherished these things in her heart. Well, I cherish a lot of things in my heart. For what I've seen my dad over the years, I thank you for letting me tell you this story. And as his story shaped his life, it's also shaped my life. And when he talks about politics, we talk about sending troops in. I know now, because of my dad's story, you don't just throw troops around. You place soldiers, and their families are involved in every step of the way. My dad passed away. Actually, I was there in the room when he passed away. Had my hands about him, and it was a special blessing from God to see him go home peacefully. And now, for Rock Split and Politics, on behalf of Rock Split and Politics, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, joy to the world. There's peace on earth and goodwill to all men and women everywhere. Thank you for listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Split and Politics. We'll be back next week with a sort of end of the year review, and we'll have some good highlights from the past year, and we're going to have some prediction coming up in the new year. A lot to talk about, so listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Split and Politics every week. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.